It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 28th day of December, 2022. This is The Horn. Head on.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. This is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening live. Thank you for listening on whatever platform you choose, whether live or pre-recorded. You are, in fact, part of an extraordinarily unique broadcast community. And I'm glad for every single person who chooses to be part of it. Hi. I'm Robin, and if you wander over to headon.live to visit the aforementioned Merry Madcap, Wacky Zany, etc., well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, or early arriver, I should say, Squeaky. And in this particular instance, there are not too many cops. It's just me in the chat room there. I hope some folks come along to chat later, Squeaky. Thanks for being there, though. I'm glad to have somebody in the chat room. And so every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means we say thanks to our 28th day of the month subscribers. And anybody who jumped in from the overnight crew. So, in particular, that means thank you to Sharon, and thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to our pal David in Oregon. I hope the first semester of 1L has gone well for you, David. Thank you all for being, and thank you, Cecilia. Thank you all for being the reason this program exists and continues to exist. That leaves the fundraising goal down at $1,250. $1,250 to finish the month of December and to finish 2022 fully funded. And I don't even know how that works out in terms of, yeah, okay, let's get the calculator up here because I can't do that kind of gazintas on the fly. Yeah, that means we need to raise $416.67 per evening. Looks like a pretty tall order as far as I can tell, but we'll do the best we possibly can. And, yeah, oh, look, the crowd has wandered in. And so there's Irish Dave and Rick in Europe and Squeaky and, well, hey, Will, formerly of Chicago. So good to see you. I hope you have a wonderful new year, a secular one, the Rosh Hashanah having come a considerable while back. It's like I said, good to see you, Will. I hope everything's going well for you and for everybody in the chat room. It's a little bit better here. The weather has improved. I'm happy to announce that here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, it's actually 75 degrees. And do you hear what's not running in the background? Yeah, the heater. So that's really much nicer. And I'm pleased to announce, of course, that while I mentioned I had a doctor's appointment earlier today, it did not impact the beginning of the program. No, and, well, got good news and bad news, Doc, today. The good news is I'm down about 15 pounds. There's 15 pounds less of me than there was the last time I was there, which was maybe, I think, 4 months ago. Yeah, late August. And the bad news is my A1C was a lot better in August, 15 pounds heavier than it is right now. Oof. So I'm going to have to get really, really serious about getting my sorry butt in, out of the house and into the gym and changing my dietary habits and stop just, you know, eating anything I want to eat. I think I'm probably going to be headed toward and don't tell me don't do it. I mean, it seems to work. I'm going to be heading toward what is basically, I guess, a keto diet where I can have all the damn meat and fat that I want, but none of the stuff I really love. You know, the pasta and the biscuits and the gravy. But I'm still, it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it because, hell, I don't know what would happen if I could drop down. If I could shed another 30 pounds, I'd be so far past svelte. You wouldn't even be able to hear the V in svelte. I'd be so far past it. So I'm going to let that motivate me and just keep pounding the water. And now the fact of the matter is, as the weather got colder, it became very much easier to sit there watching movies with Annette at the end of the day and bringing home a bag of Mounds bars or Hershey's and sit there and eat chocolate in bed. Because, well, chocolate is an antidepressant for people like me. So that's got to go, and I don't know, maybe I'll develop a taste for some of those styrofoam rice cakes or whatever the hell they are. Yay. But that was my day, and What's that, Rick, in Europe? Eat the G-bombs? I don't know what a G-bomb is. But I had a really wonderful, I guess, last hurrah of eat whatever the hell you want, especially given the goodies that we have had here over the last couple of weeks of the holiday season. I got a note from Steve in New York. Steve isn't in New York. Steve is in Ottawa, Canada. And Steve said, I want to express my sincere thanks for so many people's concern last night. It was very humbling. I'm feeling much better. I'm reconsidering where I live in New York in general, but at least my neighborhood, so I have to ride the A train less. It's worrisome. I'm glad you're as okay as you are, Steve, and the whole family, community, congregation is as well, I feel certain in saying. Now, of course, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And, having received the news about my A1C, the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men and little old blue-haired non-binaries in the fellowship hall kitchen took that straight to heart. So we had some almost entirely carb-free Fellowship Hall dinner. I guess the deacons are going to be losing some weight with me. We'll see how that all works out. Along the way. But no, we had pulled pork. It's nice smoky hickory pulled pork. That's one of the nice things. You don't have to have a bunch of bread or carbs or anything to go with that. So we had pulled pork and some slaw. And, well, I don't even know what they made for dessert because I just walked past the dessert table. That might explain the dirty looks I'm getting from the deacons lately. I don't know. But nonetheless, the barbecue was fantastic. And so, all kidding aside, the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men, little old blue-haired non-binaries, they made banana pudding. And that was tough to walk past. But somehow, I managed to do so. And the disgusted deacons trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs, went out into the parking lot, and took to smoking with the sinners. I gave them time to hotbox a couple of butts. But as ever, I showed up at the door with the horn solar powered cattle prod, and with a wave or so of that, they put wings to heel, as George W. Bush once said. And they came trundling past past me and past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, and had a couple of swigs of hand sanitizer. And now they're down front here in the sanctuary. Down front and standing around with those brass-bound plates with the burgundy velvet liners and the PayPal button in the middle and the address for the horn and the button for Patreon. And they're going to go row by row. And so, sibling minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will. Empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hot set, roasted on the riller and the brawler, brawler suet. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren and sistren, praise. Welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I am calling upon you to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and come on out from betwixt the pews and, come on out from betwixt the pews and, oh, glory, come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the, amen, healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Naughty Nun, Absolutist Abbess, Magnificent Mother Superior, Robin Kincaid. This is, glory, the Cathedral of Common Sense and Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Brethren and sisters, I thought you might find this a bit interesting as we go into this particular into this evening, some statistical data. Turns out that over in Ukraine, 55% of Ukrainians, 55% more Ukrainians, started looking up Bible verses after Mother Russia attacked them. As you looking at the chart, as Ukrainian people fled the war and relocated to different countries, there was an uptick in Ukrainian language Bible engagement surges across Europe, up by 55% in Ukraine, the Czech Republic 218%, France 228%, Poland 241%, Italy 308%, the United Kingdom, oh my God, 514%, Slovakia 682%, Germany 733%, and the Netherlands 1,060%. This is probably not a great piece of news. The number one verse that Ukrainians looked up was, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Well, I mention that because there's at least one person out there who isn't looking up Bible verses about Ukraine to bolster Ukrainian spirits. Oh, hell no. No. I'm talking, of course, about Marginal Trailer Queen, who, in fact, has gone so far as to smear. I mean, of course she smears. Smearing is what she does. She went to Twitter to declare President Trump was right. We should bomb the cartels in Mexico because they're an international criminal organization murdering our people by lacing deadly fentanyl from China in drugs they illegally sell across our border to U.S. citizens, not Mexico or its great people, the cartels. Because somehow or another, Marginal Trailer Queen is going to bomb the cartels and not hit any actual good Mexicans. Lord, 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 Lord. And along the way, yeah, she took a shot at the President of the United States with some unfounded, scurrilous filth. The Biden administration and U.S. Congress has invested $111-plus billion taxpayer dollars in a war defending the borders and people of Ukraine. The same admin and Congress ignore our own daily border invasion and the record high number of Mexican cartel fentanyl murders of Americans. Oh, please. You know, the crisis that's going on at the border is entirely manufactured. And then she said, Washington always has a lust for war. Yeah, right, because she's a peacenik. Somebody get Marge some love beads, okay? Drag out the hookah and the sitar, will ya? If that's the case, they need to turn their lust towards a war that actually defends America's borders and the American people's lives. But Joe Biden is the best business partner the cartels have ever had, and Joe keeps the drugs a-flowing. There's no bottom with this woman. And then she went on to say, young Americans, teens to 45, are dying of fentanyl more than COVID, cancer, heart disease, and all other deaths combined. Now, she needs to look up the number one cause of death among teenagers. Suicide, Marge, not fentanyl. Joe doesn't seem to mind drug abuse because he campaigned for POTUS while his daughter Ashley was in drug rehab writing about inappropriate showers with Dad. Oh, Lord. God, it's just so sickening. And we all know the depravity of Hunter's drug habit. Unfortunately, we have all to see it. We've all had to see it on his laptop from hell. But just because Joe Biden doesn't care how many Americans die from fentanyl, why don't the rest of the Democrats care? And some Republican senators. What, hon? So she doesn't like the money that we're spending defending Ukrainians from a relentless onslaught by Mother Russia. And she's all for bombing the cartels, even though, you know, it's not, somebody needs to maybe explain to Marge that there's not a great big parking lot with semi-tractor trailers coming in and out and a blinking neon light that says cartel. God. President Trump was right. Can you imagine what would happen if she got her way and we started, I mean, really, bombing Mexico? But then again, she's an old-school Confederate, and of course, one of the goals when we started the war against Mexico in the mid-19th century was to actually conquer Mexico and then annex it to the United States. It was part of the greater plan by the slave states and their leadership, you know, those white men. They actually had a plan to conquer the entire southern hemisphere and everywhere below the Rio Grande and establish a slave empire. Well, maybe the Ukrainians need to sort of loop back there. Maybe the Ukrainians need to find some Bible verses to ask God to save them from marginal trailer queen because, you know, it's the 28th of December. That means there's only 3 days of the year left. And then after that, there's 3 days in January until the Republicans pick their leadership. And then it's going to be an existential crisis and an existential struggle. Just to keep Mother Russia from steamrolling Ukraine. The only reason that Putin is not goose-stepping around the streets of Kyiv is because a Democratic majority with a handful of Republicans manage to stop that with support for actual, well, you know, democracy. I'm really okay. There's going to be some comedic value, perhaps, on January 3rd, to watching Kevin McCarthy, man of silly putty, do his best St. Paul impression and try to be all things to all people. But beyond that, it's going to be a fearful time. They're going to wind up with a 222 to 213 majority, unless George Santos can be somehow convinced that the smart thing to do would be to walk away. And then there's also, and I've got this in the stack for Tara and I on the Malloy Show, there's also Max Miller. Yeah, it turns out there's another brand new shiny criminal entering the House of Representatives. He shouldn't be seated either. There really probably should be a rule that says, sorry, if you were involved with January 6th in the least, which he was, you don't get a seat in government. So that would take him down to 220 to 213. Because the numbers are getting a little bit creepy. For Kevin McCarthy. There's a handful. There it is, yeah. There's a handful of Republicans who say, ain't no way in hell they're going to vote for Kevers, and that nobody can make them. Those five maggots, and believe you me, they're not saying no to Kevers because they've got some moral compunction. They're saying no to Kevers because he's not maggot enough. No matter how many times he went crawling on his belly to nitwit Nero, he's not maggot enough, and he's not fascist enough. So Representative Bob Good of the Old Dominion and Andy Biggs of Arizona and Matt just Gatesworth of Florida and Ralph Norman of South Carolina stan and Matt Rosendale of Montana stan, where's Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert? Where's Lauren Bobblehead Boobert? Have they also cut their separate piece with the man of silly putty? One California Republican, Representative David Valadao, has said, well, he said, oh, no, we're going to have McCarthy as the speaker. There's a lot of us out there. I'm part of a group that's been putting out a lot of letters to our colleagues, even on social media, that will support McCarthy no matter what. So he's got to have 218 members of the House vote for him, including his own vote, I suppose. And let's see. Let's do the math. 222. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 217. So that's a little bit, it's got to be a little bit of a nail biter. And I wonder if maybe there's somebody sitting in the back who's ready. Yeah. Well, you know the line from Shakespeare. Cassius has a lean and hungry look. But as mentioned, there are people out there who think that the best person to play the role of Cassius would be Steve Scalise of Louisiana stan. Now, he's very, because he's the number two guy in the House, he's very carefully not been out drumming up support. But then again, he also hasn't not been. That's a triple negative. I don't even know what that means. drumming up support. And supposedly there's others in the wings as well. Andy Biggs says he'll run for it. And I'm wondering what happened to Matt Gaetz' promise that he would nominate Tangerine Tiberius to be Speaker of the House. The outcome, according to the article, and it's a right-wing piece of shit article from the Washington Examiner, by the way, says, if no candidate wins a majority of the votes cast during the roll call vote at the beginning of the Congress, the House will repeat the roll call until a Speaker is elected. Congress has not had to repeat a roll call vote to elect a House Speaker since 1923. And McCarthy has vowed not to back down, noting he would go through several rounds of ballots until he wins the Speaker position. If he goes through several rounds of ballots, he's going to take the gavel of the Speaker as a decidedly weakened man, which is fine by me. Scott in San Diego asking, Kevin McCarthy's numbers, creepy, huh? Is that good creepy or bad creepy? I frankly hope they sit there and tear at each other until there's nothing recognizable left of them. Oh, and going back to the crisis at the border, Stephen New York notes, serious question, what exactly is the crisis? I never hear any specifics, just that there's a crisis. Well, it is a humanitarian crisis, because thanks to Title 42, you've got people waiting at the border, piled up, and unable to enter the country. You've got people desperate to be able to simply live. The border is not wide open. See, anytime you're dealing with these ridiculous, disgusting maggots, you have to take into account the fact that they will tell you two different lies at the same time. There's a crisis at the border. Oh, they're just pouring over. They're pouring over the border. Oh, Lord God, they're the thickest thieves. While at the same time, it was Nitwit Nero who put in Title 42 that said no one, not asylum seekers, nobody, no how, no way, gets to cross into the United States. And because they are just walking wads of cognitive dissonance, they don't have a problem maintaining both. But there is, to the extent there is a crisis, it is a crisis among people who have come from Ecuador, who have come from Venezuela, who have come from Cuba, via Mexico, to seek asylum in the United States. And to this day, there's no, I haven't seen any news stories of the crisis at the border in California. Neither have I seen stories of crisis at the border in New Mexico. It's only in states that have Republican governors. Once again, we could solve the crisis at the border by simply putting Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis and Greg Aspott on a bus to Mexico City. Let them lead the invasion of the cartels. That'd be fine. Darlene with some health notes for me. Careful with the keto diet. Complex carbs are healthy. It's the simple carbs and starchy foods you must limit to or avoid until you get that reading down to avoid diabetes. Yeah, I know. My beloved mashed potatoes, my beloved biscuits, my beloved gravy, the saltines that I like to have with a bowl of soup, my plates of pasta and rich sauce. Hate to mention this, but you need to limit your consumption of red meat too, Robin. There's no way pork is healthier than the complex carbs in veggies, whole grains, and fruit, a complex sugar. Start choosing meats lower in saturated fats more often, such as chicken and turkey. Oh, God. Hey, maybe I'll just become a vegetarian. Better to just go without it entirely than to torment myself with chicken and turkey. Ground turkey can make a great substitute, and chicken and turkey are actually higher in protein and the range of amino acids the body needs than red meats.
I know.
Unless your physician has specifically recommended a ketogenic diet, this and other fad diets have done a lot of harm in making people think they can't consume healthy complex carbs, non-starchy in your case. I just know that Miss Terry has had a lot of success with hers. She's on a very closely monitored, she's actually part of a study. She's lost a ton of weight. She feels great, and the only downside to it so far is that she occasionally desperately misses a slice of pizza. So, I don't know. We'll see where... I have a sneaking suspicion that there are a couple of things I can do. But primarily, first and foremost, is to get my skinny butt out of this house, go across the river, and walk on that treadmill. And then eventually, maybe I'll get inspired enough that I'll start doing crunches and work on my tummy and... rowing machine, stair climbing machine. I need to do it. It'll be good for me. I just have to, I don't know, maybe I need some cute exercise wear. That's it. Meanwhile, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan says, Kevin McCarthy's gavel. The maggots are flooding the Washington Journal phone lines and encouraging their representatives to nominate Orange and make him the speaker. Could get really weird. Stay tuned. At this point in time, considering what's not going to get done by this House of Representatives, I hesitate to say this because I know, you know, about the goddess of irony and everything. But you have to admit, it would be entertaining as hell. I mean, can you imagine him, Speaker of the House, and all of the maggots up there on the daily trying to fillet him? I know, that was a horrible mental image. Downright cruel. But, oof. And just the undying declarations of undying support and love and dedication and devotion. And you know how, I mean, if that were to come to pass, Steve, and, you know, you almost make me want to tune into Washington Journal. We might, Steve, we might have to start having Washington Journal updates or Washington Journal reports if this kind of madness persists. But it would be. It would be comedy gold. They're not going to get anything done anyway. And then, of course, with Nitwit Nero in the speaker's seat, they would feel absolutely compelled to, you know, impeach Joe Biden. And then it would go to the Senate, where it would die a prompt death. Then they would be under orders to impeach him again, so he would be twice impeached. It would again go to the Senate and die. But then Speaker Nitwit would not be assuaged because, well, we're going to have to impeach Sleepy Joe again because I can't be the most impeached president in the history of the United States of America. We're just going to impeach him all the way. And they might actually fuck up enough that in 2024, we take the House back and protect the vulnerable seats of the Democrats in the Senate. That almost has a certain amount of appeal to it. Yeah, well, thank you, Cynthia. Cynthia says, from the devil's advocate, hey, you only live once, might as well enjoy it. But then moderation in all things is still important. I'm bad, signed Cynthia. No, thank you, Sess. I get it. That's one of the things that I said. One of the things that came with transition was kind of wanting to live forever. That's not possible. But I've got a big birthday coming up. You know, 60's a big deal. And I'd like to see as much of my authentic life as I can. That's one of the things I grieve about, is the years I spent in hiding. I'm deliriously happy for the most part. And Lord, I can't even imagine what sizes I would get down to, what things might happen for me if I dropped 30 pounds. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Devil's Advocate, Cynthia. Thank you. And by the way, a note coming in from Billable Rick. I'm back at work today. And ready to golf tomorrow. Finally tested negative for COVID yesterday morning and was a weak positive on Monday night. For me, the COVID experience was again a nothing burger, a slight fever for a few hours, and a slight occasional headache easily repelled with Tylenol. Lucky you, Tylenol works for you. It's never worked for me. And some chest and nasal congestion and no sore throat. I would liken what I experienced to nothing worse than a middling headache chest cold, but only because I was vaxxed four times. So rumors of my premature demise have been greatly exaggerated. In any case, I'd like to make the following challenge. Thank you, Billable Rick. I'll kick in $50 to be doubled. Once it's been matched on account of the year-end bonus that I just received, you can apply the $50 to any extant challenge. There are no extant challenges. I implore all listeners who also received or didn't receive a year-end bonus to kick in some coin to fill the fundraising hole. Y'all better kick in what you can, as the last thing I want to do is send in my German Shepherd girls, Bella and Maley, to help Lassie get Robin out of the hole. Oop. We don't want to have three female dogs getting in a knockdown, drag-out fight. It would be extremely ugly, and yes, blood would flow. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just doing the math real quick, trying to figure out if I was the fourth bitch. Probably shouldn't have. Well, no, stop that. Now, the black and gold part, because this is the black and gold challenge, which has nothing to do with my beloved Hawkeyes, who will soon get a rematch in Nash Vegas, the Music City Bowl, against that Kentucky Jelly team that barely got them 2 years ago. I was given a $200 gift certificate by my boss to play a round at Your Belinda's Own Black and Gold Golf Club, which I drive past when traveling, speeding, to work via the Richard Nixon Expressway, gagging. You've got to be fucking kidding. But I know you're not. It's Orange County, Your Belinda, and of course they have a Richard Nixon Expressway. The only thing I can ask Billable Rick is whether that road is crooked. With my middle finger extended, Billable says. Looking forward to playing some golf at that bougie course in the new year. With a playing partner to be determined. Happy holidays, everyone. Billable Rick. Well, thank you, Billable. That's really sweet of you. And I can't tell you how long I could have gone without knowing that there was a Richard Nixon Expressway. Is it a toll road? Is it the, and is, if it's a toll road, is there a Spiro Agnew Memorial toll plaza?
Ha.
Richard Nixon Express. Your Belinda. I got a feeling that's going to be a thing all night long. Actually, what it is, Billable, is henceforward every reference will to you, dear friend, will be to Billable Rick out on the mean streets of the Richard Nixon Expressway. You want a car with some real handling capabilities for the Richard Nixon Expressway because in fact it is a crooked road. You actually made me think of US 60 down Golly Mountain. When you start on the mountain, there's a sign that says caution, winding road next 7 miles. I think I'm going to make it a mission to name US 60 from Anstead to Golly Bridge the Archmore Highway. And we'll change the sign, warning, crooked road next 7 miles. So if somebody will pony up $50, or somebodies will pony up $50, Billable Rick will turn that into $150, and we will be down to $11.20 to go for fundraising. And God knows it's bills all the way to the end of the year and into the beginning. And by the way, Ralph just said, I'll add $25 to Billable Rick's challenge. So there's $75 in challenge money, which will turn into $125. So there's $125 worth of challenge money for $75 worth of contributions. So that's $200, and that's half, well, kind of close to halfway for what we need to reach to finish this evening to the good. As we sort of chat and cuss and discuss and hope for a New Year's miracle. By the way, a reminder from Brother Deacon Asa, however it is you listen to the program, wherever you listen to the program, please, please, pretty please, like and subscribe and leave feedback. Leave feedback, please, Brother Deacon says. I'm not the only one who was tickled by the idea of a Richard Nixon Expressway. Todd down in South Carolina stand with another question says, is the Richard Nixon Expressway illuminated by gaslight? Oh, Todd. Very good. And Billable answered, the Richard Nixon Expressway is mostly uphill, not a toll road. It has only two slight curves. My top speed, 110 miles an hour. So are you saying that the roads are straight, but the drivers are crooked? Oh. Randy Radar now. See, this has become a topic. Things on the Richard Nixon Expressway. Randy Radar says, is it full of potholes with a prison in the median? I know Scott in San Diego is working on something that's going to just be an absolute cacophony of cowbells. Is there a guy standing by the side of the road holding his hand over a candle? Yeah. You know, and that's another thing. I noticed we had the story about Katie Hobbs and the Maricopa County election officials losing their case to Carrie Lake, in which, you know, no sanctions. But I noticed, it's a country of some 330 to 350 million souls, so you're bound to have some overlap. And as a consequence, but I did notice that the lawyer, I think, for Maricopa County, if I recall the details correctly, was one Richard No, not Nixon. Liddy. And I can't help wondering if that's some kin to the biggest psychopath ever to be involved in a presidential scandal. You know, out there just trying to sort of reclaim the family name. Hey, Vicky. Vicky down in St. Petersburg. Thank you. Thank you so much. Billable Rick's challenge is met. That leaves 25 to go on Ralph's challenge. That's amazing, Vicky. Thank you so much. So that means we will be down to, oh, golly. Trying to figure the... So we're down to 1060. Only 6 years before the Battle of Hastings. 1060 to go for our little New Year's miracle. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you so very much. It's great to hear from you. Thank you. Well, I mean, Darlene, okay. Yeah, hang on, though, Darlene says, you said Miss Terry's being monitored closely. She is. Going vegetarian means a risk of vitamin B12 deficiency that you can only get through animal protein. Sure, I'm already supplementing with B12 because apparently it's it makes one's medication work better. Darlene says, I'm not saying don't have red meat at all. Just limit yourself to once or twice a week. You know, I'd say I'm probably already there. The amount of meat we don't eat here is surprising, perhaps. And in the last year, the consumption has gone down dramatically. And that's the thing. It's not that I don't like chicken and turkey. It's that we already consume a lot of chicken and turkey. And by the way, Darlene, where does fish play in all of this? I'm not a big fish fan, but I can handle some in some fashions. Oh, well, there's the answer. Take heart. All fish is on the table as good for you, even salmon. Yeah, salmon and I have a conflicted relationship. Annette loves her some salmon. I find it way fishy. Although I do like salmon cakes. If you're immunocompromised or pregnant, if I am, there better be three wise guys on the stoop when I walk out. Just steer clear of raw fish like sushi and raw oysters. Otherwise, you're good to go with fish and even shellfish. Yay! I'm still kind of grieving the fact that I didn't get my oysters bienville and my raw oysters this Christmas. But, well, some other time. Scallops. You know, there was not a scallop to be found. I was going to default to scallops. And no, none. Anyway, Darlene says, I know all this because I spoke at length with a clinical dietitian a few weeks ago as I've been asked to write a feature article on nutrition and neuromuscular disease for Quest magazine. I'll be speaking with another another CD professor of health next week. Clinical dietitian. Well, thank you. That timed out nicely, especially for in light of my, well, where I am. Thanks for all that information. Maybe, I'm going. You know what I need to find out? Carbs in mayonnaise. Probably bad carbs, but I can eat any fish on planet Earth if I've got enough of that wonderful homemade tartar sauce that I love so well. That is unlike any tartar sauce you can buy in any store anywhere in this country, I promise. Interesting that on this prayer meeting Wednesday, we find ourselves with food porn, whether it even, was not part of my plan. And thank you, to our dear friend Donald in Prince George, British Columbia. Thank you so very kindly. Ralph's challenge is met, and then some. And so that actually means that we are now down to 10:35. That's what it'll take for our end-of-the-year miracle. Thank you, Donald. Thank you so much. That's actually wildly encouraging because, like I said, it's bills as far as the eye can see. And now that we've gotten down past 1060, but Randy Radar said 1060 AM is KYW News Radio in Philly. News and traffic on the whatever. Weather on the AIDS. Save your relatability for your friends. Thank you for that, Randy. Diet stuff. Steve in New York says, my lap band diet is similar. I'd try a lap band cookbook. Okay. I'll go looking. That could be helpful. Hey, maybe it's a way for me to... Yeah, rice. Okay, rice is another thing I'm going to miss. I love rice. But this can be done. I can do this. And you know what? We'll turn this into a thing. We'll turn this into a bit. I'm committing to something, aren't I? Yeah, I am. So, every month I pay for a gym membership, and I feel like it gives me the privilege to not go to the gym. Well, that's over. So that'll be... I don't go in for New Year's resolutions, but that'll be the New Year's resolution. New year, new me. And so I'll go over and I'll do some stuff every day. Probably just, it might even just be a matter of getting on the treadmill. But I rather do like, I love the leg presses. Because I was going to the gym back before surgery because I was trying to get my BMI down and get myself in the best possible shape for, you know, being dead for 8 hours on the table. It apparently worked. But maybe we'll just we'll keep track of things. And okay, oh, well, okay, Darlene, tell me about yogurt. Tell me about yogurt. Can I just like have a couple of servings of that really sugar laden yogurt that I love so much every morning? Probably not. See, sugar. Yeah. And it was. Oh, well, okay. Flavio says, a tip of the hat to the Hanseatic League food. I'm crazy for pickled herring and cream and smoked herring. You know what? Creamed herring is really good. I don't know that I've ever had it smoked. Surely to goodness I've had it smoked. But, oh, I love things like smoked trout. I wonder how bad for you the pickled herring is. I don't know. I got hit by a craving earlier today. I know, save your relatability for your friends. But I just happened to be over in Food Lion over in Summersville because I had to go to the doctor. The heck? Oh, okay.
That was me, sorry.
Hi, Nat.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
Just making a dash.
Well, we're talking about my future diet here.
Lutefisk. Lutefisk, I'm telling you.
There's your Hanseatic League food, Flavio. Lutefisk. Zerstroming.
Lutefisk.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to write to our old friend Scott in Sweden and see if we can scrounge up some more Zerstroming. And open it somewhere, oh, I don't know, long around Fraser's Bottom, West Virginia. Cynthia says, to be honest, I try to limit my own red meat consumption, and I eat vegetarian and vegan from time to time. I love salmon and seafood, eat lots of chicken. If I were a better cook, I'd probably go vegetarian. Hey, I did make potato leek soup for the first time in my life last week, and it was fabulous. Oh, yay! And I put roasted mushrooms in it, too. How you? Well, you can't go wrong with that. Roasted mushrooms are to die for. Yes, Cynthia, they are. And for anyone who hasn't roasted mushrooms, it's a two-step process. Roast them at, say, 350 degrees for 15 minutes. Pull them out. Drain off the liquid that comes out of them. Don't throw that liquid away. It's gold. Use it. Then put the mushrooms back in the oven for another 30 minutes or so. Wonderful. What kind of mushrooms did you use? Shiitakes or just white button mushrooms? Or God, I love those straw mushrooms. And like when you go and you get a really good hot sour soup, those, what are they called, wood ear mushrooms? In it? Oh, heavens. And one of the things that grows around here are called chicken of the woods, and that's like eating meat. So, no, the mouthfeel, oh, got to talk about the mouthfeel. God, how did we get here? Anyway, no, the Ralphs tells me, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, right now trending on Twitter, hashtag run on Russian banks, hashtag Russian bank panic, hashtag Russia is collapsing. That's over at Democratic Underground. That sounds a little bit frightful. In fact, we were talking the other day, and Annette said, well, what is a ruble to a dollar? And it turned out that I had no idea. It was, wow. Mistyped that. One U.S. dollar. Equals 72.75 mother Russian rubles. Oh, I was there. There you are, Scott. Good. You've maintained my faith. The Nixon Expressway. Scott says, don't forget the Martha Mitchell Memorial Tunnel at the entrance. A big old Martha face. With a wide open mouth. Okay, you earned it. So, Steve, or Scott, I mean, you too, Steve, if you want to jump in. Excuse me, Scott, are you still at the home, or are you home? Everybody's eager to know. Oh, thank you, Cynthia. Cynthia used the big old white button mushrooms. Yeah, the brown ones are great, too. Criminy? Oh, excuse me. Oh, really, the hiccups. Oh, I promise. I'm not on the sauce this evening, I promise. I decided to have one of those little nicotine pouches, and sure as God made little green apples. Makes me sound like I'm loaded. Oh, and Ron in Raleigh says, I just spooned up a bowl of black bean vegetarian chili. Good stuff. Oh, I love vegetarian chili. I absolutely do. Big fan of beans, too, but they're a carb problem, even though there is some protein in there. Oh, it's all so complex. Maybe I should reach out to our old friend, Dr. Allen. Down in Waco. He's been vegetarian for a very long time. Maybe he could help me. And remember, you know, talking about cutting back on red meat, it's not like I got my standing rib roast for Christmas, Darlene. No, Christian dude wiped all of those out. That's okay, says Steve in New York. Wild rice, honestly, the issue is not just simple complex carbs, it's low glycemic carbs. Most veggies are low glycemic. Berries are generally lower on the glycemic index. Citrus fruits, apples, and especially bananas are higher on the glycemic index. Sweet potatoes and yams are generally lower on the glycemic index. Thank goodness I'm not taking spironolactone anymore, because that stuff made me miserable. That was the no green or yellow vegetables. Couldn't have tomato juice, couldn't have avocados, couldn't have a green salad.
But I could have all the pickles I wanted.
Oh, thank you, Darlene. Beans are starchy, too. Yes, they are. Can I at least have some high-fat salad dressing on some iceberg lettuce? I like that. Yes, you absolutely do, Billable. That's a cowbell writing credit for helping to spur the Richard Nixon Expressway meme. Absolutely. The Martha Mitchell is the best so far. The John Mitchell Memorial traffic ticket drop actually does not go to the state. Just goes to some crooked attorney general or some such. Yeah. In all seriousness, there's another story that I saw earlier today, thanks to Chris in Germany. You remember couple or three days ago in which I mentioned that there's a new tell-all book out about the first 2 years of the or whatever of the Biden administration, and it's got this earth-shattering revelation that occasionally the President of the United States says, fuck! God knows if I was him, it would be every second word. Fucking Marjorie, fucking Taylor, fucking Green. Fucking Joe fucking Manchin. Fucking Kirsten fucking Sinema. I mean, really, they'd lose count if it was me. Probably y'all, too. And I got to thinking about Marginal Trailer Queen. The best of our presidents have been the ones who were able to toss out a sort of a homespun quip. And, you know, Biden hasn't been bad at that. You know, the former guy was gold. But really, where Marginal Trailer Queen is concerned, he really should call her out and, or not call her out, but something like, Marginal Trailer Queen said today? And just with this long-suffering expression, and, well, he doesn't have a southern accent, but it'll still be okay. He needs to use that line that I use so much. How glorious would it be if upon being asked about something, he just held his hands up and said, y'all, I don't reckon he'd say y'all. Well, you know, if Marge's brains were gas, she wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run halfway around to BB. Next question. She would brown her maiden forms right up, I promise. It'd take her at least a day to come up. Yeah. Oh, okay, Flavio. Flavio says, I'm talking about food from the cities of Bremen, Hamburg, and Lübeck. Lutefisk is nasty. Lutefisk is not from Bremen, Hamburg, and Lübeck, last I checked. Oh, I'm sure there's been some there. No, but I get it. Damn, cream pickled herring sounds good right now. No, I was in the store earlier today because I had to get some half and half. You know what? I didn't get half and half today. Son of a... Robin went into the grocery store with one thing to get and came out with everything but the one thing, because I steered into the food line over there by the tofu and stuff, and I saw a jar of kimchi. I was like, haven't eaten anything all day. I think I want, snatched a plastic fork from the deli there and have me some kimchi on the way. I didn't get any. Robin, you... Ah! Jeremy in Vermont noting, does anyone actually think Biden doesn't say the F word in private? Hell, he called a reporter a dumb son of a bitch on an open mic this summer. Right. Well, and the larger point is that, you know, there was the breathless reporting about how he says the F-bomb, but he apologizes if he says it in front of a woman. Well, we've got another story. And like I said, Chris in Germany hipped me to this. Apparently, if this book is to be believed, published reports indicate that, and I don't blame him, President Biden doesn't trust some of his Secret Service detail. And he's also gotten to the point where he doesn't much believe the much breathlessly ballyhooed story of his dog, Major, biting a Secret Service agent. And it all comes from a book that's on the way out, by Chris Whipple, The Fight of His Life, Inside Joe Biden's White House. And in the book, there is the quote to be found, "A bigger problem was Biden's discomfort with his Secret Service detail. Some of them were MAGA sympathizers. He didn't trust them." Now, this is reporting from The Hill. And it apparently the report notes that his Secret Service detail is much larger than it was when he was vice president. Okay, that makes sense. And I guess Chris Whipple is at least somewhat sensitive to the situation because he writes, "The Secret Service is full of white ex-cops from the South who tend to be deeply conservative." And it goes back to Tony Ornato. And January 6, 2021, the Secret Service's behavior there. Whipple writes, "Surrounded by a new phalanx of strangers, Biden couldn't help but wonder, do these people really want me here?" And then Biden got really upset when he found out that the Secret Service had dummied up, frauded up, faked up, and otherwise caused to disappear an entire, and this is a complex mathematical term, a whole shit ton of messages from January 6th. And Biden, no dummy, felt like maybe the Secret Service had looked both incompetent and politicized. But again, because this program operates so far out ahead of the curve that we're on straight road, I have this long memory. And I remember when the story broke before the inauguration of Barack Obama as president in his first term, January 20th, 2009. I remember the story that broke of Secret Service agents who were, yeah, I don't care who you are, that shit's funny. Who were passing around N-word jokes about the incoming president of the United States. And I remember saying back then that that damned organization needed to be cleaned out root and branch. And then as to Major the dog biting an agent, Biden wasn't buying the details, like the location of the incident, but he didn't dispute that the bite happened. Biden told a friend of his that, curiously enough, the Secret Service agents are never where they said the incident took place, the second floor of the White House. Somebody was lying. We've talked from time to time on this program about the lack of trust for the Secret Service. remember, they knew on January the 6th, 2021, that the area around the White House and all the way down to the Capitol, the Ellipse, was crawling with maggots armed to the teeth. They heard the radio traffic about the maggots in the trees with sniper rifles. And they did precisely, and this is a complex political term, dick about it. So this book, The Fight of His Life, Inside Joe Biden's White House, is due to come out on January the 17th. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a portrait of a man who's not competent to do the job. If I was Joe Biden, I would feel the same way about the Secret Service. You know, they're supposed to be willing to take a bullet for the president. Pardon me if it feels like the Secret Service is more along the lines of Lucy holding the football. And would probably hit the dirt at the first sound of a shot fired in anger. The organization needs to be cleaned out root and branch. I'm not talking about loyalty tests per se, but we should be able to have some confidence that, say, they won't obstruct justice in the matter of, say, a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States. Is that too much to ask? We know they've been a bunch of racist fucks from at least late 2008. Remember, they codenamed, and I remember talking about this at the time, they codenamed the President of the United States from arguably from a Styx song, Renegade. Go look up the lyrics to Renegade and see if you can see anything in there that might hip you to the fact that it was a Secret Service detail that was emailing N-word jokes to each other. You might be surprised what you find. It is, after all, about a dude being lynched. Not saying. Just saying. Thank you, Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia Stan, who is now riding herd in the chat room. Thanks for that. Steve's, so, you know, brain shows up, brain's going to get busted. And by the way, Theo, I saw a message from you, but here, this is one of the shortcomings of the chat room. If you message me from the chat room and then you sign out, your message goes away when you sign out, too, if you, like, you know, private message me. So thanks for sending it, Theo, but I don't know what you said. A1C, you got this, Steve in Georgia Stan writing. Robin, my dear friend. True story, back in September 2013, I had a condition called steroid-induced diabetes. My A1C soared to 11.9, and I ended up in the ER. I had to inject insulin for about 6 months after this incident. Since it was induced by steroids, I was able to reverse the condition. However, the remedy remains the same. Do this until warm weather hits. Do chair aerobics if needed. I can send you a link that explains what that is. Additionally, eliminate all added processed sugar and especially avoid sugary drinks, i.e. orange soda, etc. And after warm weather hits, stay on your sugar-free diet, ditch the chair aerobics, and walk a mile a day. By following this formula, within 6 months, I was able to toss the insulin. My A1C has never been over 5.5. True story, my friend. Keep the faith. P.S. After you get to where you need to be, you don't even have to give up cake. Just have a skinny piece of cake, not the whole cake. You got this. How did you know I was like that with cake? Yeah, have a cookie, Robin, not the whole bag of cookies. Yeah, at least thank God. Yeah, thank God I don't do weed anymore because, well, it's hell when the munchies kick in. And yes, that's another reason it is where it is. I mentioned the other day, you may recall, the day that I was dosed to the eyes with caffeine, that I had been trying to rebuild my caffeine tolerance, and that as a part of that, that I was occasionally having probably a little bit too much fountain Coke, because God, I love the taste of a fountain Coke. Well, that was probably part of it too. So, gone are the fountain Cokes. I don't think this is going to be as bad as it seems. But thank you for all of that. That's inspiring, Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan. And, you know, maybe... Look, I love to go down to my local trail. It's a hell of a hike all the way down to the... I mean, it's not like you got to climb over boulders or anything, but it's a heck of a hike all the way down to the New River and back. And it's conveniently marked for what your progress is. So, yeah, doing a mile a day on that trail would be great. And given that I live in or near a national park with 1,600 miles of trails, I think I could probably vary it up a little bit. Stephen New York says, in Ottawa, Canada. Let's see here. President Biden says fuck a lot and doesn't trust his Secret Service detail. The former guy, on the other hand, fomented a coup. Steve says, I'm pretty comfy with President Biden. Yeah, same. Same. And thank you, Will, formerly of Chicago, now of Southern California. You have that. You've got this. Remember, moderation in diet. Moderation in all things. Nothing to excess. Thank you, Will. As for the potato leek soup that Cynthia was talking about, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, it'd be okay for your diet except for the potatoes. Pure carbs. Mmm, tasty leek soup. And, you know, I've had a terrible hankering for split pea with ham soup lately. That's probably full of starch, too, the split peas. Hey, bring me another hot cup of broth. Aw, Matt in San Francisco, subject line, all the leaves are brown and the puppy's gone. I just sent Fendi off to his forever home. Prada and Armani went yesterday. Gucci and Hermes went a week ago. I'm going to miss my morning puppy kisses. So in a short period of time, we went from a house full of puppies back to just three adult dogs, two Yorkies and a Chihuahua. Oh, Matt, you've got an empty nest. All that Yorkie adoration. It's going to be a tough morning tomorrow. So there's $100 Christmas puppy challenge. I will take comfort in knowing that our little pups are going to give five families a whole bunch of Yorkie love. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. Oh, all right. Just tell me that the families are going to send occasional pictures of the grand puppies as they grow up to you, Matt. Precious little Yorkies with little bows in their little Yorkie hair, and pink bows, little blue bows. Fendi was the last to go. They're gonna be adorable. I love Yorkies. God, I love Yorkies. So thanks for the challenge, Matt. There's a $100 Christmas puppy challenge on the table, and if it's met, that'll get us down to, we'll be under four digits. We'll get down to $830 to go for our end-of-the-year Christmas miracle. Matt, thank you so much. That's so kind. And just thanks for giving me the warm Yorkie fuzzies, too, because I'm absolutely consumed by them now. I hope you'll call in at some other time, Will. We haven't talked in a while. But I understand you got some tidying up to do. So we've reached the halfway point of the program, and I think it's time that we checked in with Scott and see what's going on down at the home. Scott!
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam. And that don't make sense, not a bit.
No. You got to do the Warner Brothers version. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam. And the deer and the antelopes play. And the rabbits.
Oh, well, you tell it your way, I'll tell it mine.
And the rabbits.
Let me just get through this, because, and then I'll tell you why I'm so
I know, crazy. If we start now, we're doomed.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, and that don't make sense, not a bit. You show me a home where the buffaloes roam, and I'll show you a home full of. I used to have that as the outgoing message.
I love that a lot.
On my answering machine. I used to have that little song on my answering machine, the outgoing message. And when you got to the operative four-letter word, starts with S, ends in T, that's when the beep happened. And then they would leave their message. I guess you had to have
been. A house full of beep.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you? I wasn't going to call today, but I...
No, I'm glad you did. I mean, we're this is important. This has become... You have become a story.
Good Lord. That's a frightening prospect. Well, the lady just came to my door and handed me an envelope with my name and my landlord's return address in the corner. Did I tell you about the house key?
Well, we knew it was missing.
Well, what happened was I thought it was in my pants pocket. Okay, because it wasn't where I normally put it. And when I was getting ready, when the ambulance people came, I wanted to make sure I had everything in readiness. And I just assumed it was in there. So they locked the door. In other words, all you got to do is pull it closed and it locks. But anyway, I get here and I'm looking high and low, can't find the damn key. So I now that I have a going home date, that was the big news I was going to tell you about in a minute. But I called my landlord, and she was very sorry to hear that I've been laid up for the past 2 weeks. And she dropped off the key so that once they do let me out on Friday, believe it or not, early afternoon, I will have a key to get into my little domicile. So I will miss some of the people.
Are they going to have the guy with the leaf blower there to welcome you?
I hope not. I really hope not.
The
first thing I'm going to do when I get there, I'm going to do two things. The first thing is do a little Snoopy dance, happy dance. The second thing is I'm going to brew a pot of strong coffee and have me the whole damn pot as quickly as I can consume it without burning anything. And the third thing is...
My heart will be broken if you don't do it with the horn mug.
Oh, I will break out the horn mug because it's a special festive occasion. But the other thing I'm going to do, did I tell you about they ration my Nicorette? The first week they would bring me like a piece whenever I rang the thing to have them come do it, and then both of us got tired of that. So then in the morning. that shit grows old pretty damn quick, you know. But anyway, so that was the first week, and then somebody wised up and brought me like I think my ration is 6 pieces a day, which shit I can do 6 pieces talking to you on a typical afternoon call, you know. Well, maybe not six, but
I'm anyway. Still not okay. Neither of us that worth a damn.
See, I was hoping you wouldn't get me started. It's one thing for me to get started. But when we both get started, the archive just turns into Looney Tunes. You know?
This is another one of those moments where I'm either glad or sad that this isn't on video. Because I got my little head and my little hands. Well, not so little. Big old man hands. But...
but anyway, what the hell was I saying?
My mascara is fucked.
Well, and you're here to thank me, I know. But anyway, that's so now they bring me my six pieces. So when I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is brew up a big old pot of coffee and just break out the Nicorette. I wish I had a Pez dispenser properly modified to take care of, you know, squares of Nicorette. Because I'm going to sit there and get so caffeinated and so nicotined, they may have to bring me back here.
Well, you know, the FDA would probably take umbrage, but I can't think of anything more delightful than a nicotine gum Pez dispenser. It could come in, it could come with the heads of like famous smokers, you know, Humphrey Bogart, Jackie Gleason,
Lucille Ball. Toward the end, she had a voice like George Raft or somebody. You know? Now you tell the people where it sent me. Anyway, I would.
I think there would have to be like a special edition Selma Diamond one.
If you ever want a treat in terms of Lucy's stories, during the last couple of years of her life, her assistant was my pal up in, well, I don't know where the hell he is, Pine Mountain Resort or whatever. He used to live in like Glendale or somewhere, but he does this weekly show about entertainment and personalities and stuff like that. Stu Shostak. The name of it is Stu's Show. And I recommend it for anybody who's into old TV and shit like that. But the last couple of years of Lucy's life, somehow or another, Stuart became Lucy's driver and assistant, personal assistant and all that. And he tells some raucous stories about Lucy in her later years. Just a treat beyond words. Anyway, but she used to have a rather pleasant voice back in the 40s when she was working for RKO. And there toward the end, she's like Gabby Hayes or something. Yeah, hey, Roy.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear. But anyway, that I was just calling for the big news that I'm getting sprung, hopefully, on Friday.
So, how? I mean, you got there via ambulance. How are you going home?
They're going to send me home in a cab, which is fine with me. I'll have my bags all packed and be ready to go. And you know, and it's not too far from where I live, maybe a 10-minute drive. And I've got my key, so I can get into the place. But yeah, now, how's this for changing topics? Earlier you mentioned something.
Who's getting beaten in the background?
Oh, that's the lady with the call button. You know how it's on a long cord? And she swings it around and whaps it against the wall or the headboard of the
bed. Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was the ratchet on the rack or something. You know, click, click. Stretch him a little bit more.
Well, that's in the other ward. I'm in the good people ward. In the troubled patients ward, I'm sure they have a rack and all other types of implements of delight and entertainment. But, yeah, she, I don't know if you can hear. You can hear the pounding, and then she starts, like,
chomping. Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, there's a regularity to it. It's like she's looking at a clock or something.
Well,
they
need to take away the call button and give her a paddle board, you know, with the rubber ball at the end.
Well, now we're into Blazing Saddles territory.
Headley.
Damn thing don't work.
God. But anyway, I just as much fun as I've had here, which has been a pleasant stay. I mean, I'm not going to kid about something like that. I mean, it could have been worse. But I'm just anxious to be home. I will have met my goal of having done it before the end of this year. Oh, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
No, this is just solidarity. That had the wrong that had the wrong sound to it.
There's an old Alka-Seltzer commercial where it takes place in the prison yard. I mean the dining hall, and they talk about the voiceover guys at the food. When sometimes you get a case of indigestion from bad food, you want to demand Alka-Seltzer, and you see all the inmates in the rows of diners banging their tin cups and
you filthy screws.
Alka-Seltzer. Yeah, exactly.
Give it a rest, Muriel.
Well, they'll show up sooner or later and take it away from her. I don't know what the deal is. It proves my long-held theory.
Maybe she's a rehabilitating drummer.
Well, I don't know.
Or maybe a pianist, because she's got a pretty solid metronome rhythm going on there, Scott.
Well, I mean, she's going to have to get up early in the morning and go a long way to reach what we call syncopation in the percussion business. Somebody
showed up. Okay.
Good. I was wondering how long you would take.
Neither one of us like that worth a shit.
Oh, geez.
No, see, you started telling me that, and I immediately, you know where my head went. I mean, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. I immediately went to the video of that, you know, given a choice between food and cocaine, a rat will eat cocaine until it dies. And it's like, yeah, they needed something that involved a bell for you. I mean, but then again, that got old real fucking quick.
Yeah, I mean, the first 30 seconds are entertaining. You start putting it to music, you play the tune or whatever, but then it wears off. The novelty wears off quick. But what the hell was I saying?
Well, Rick in Europe wants to know, is that Hillcrest or North Park?
I live in North Park, but this place is, I don't even know what neighborhood this is. It's about a 10-minute drive east of where I live. It's on University Boulevard. I don't want to give too many clues. My fans will start showing
right,
up.
Yeah. It's no fun when the secure, undisclosed location is no longer secure and undisclosed.
Jeez, God damn, I'll be all right. But anyway, the good news is I'm going to be leaving on about this time on Friday, maybe a little earlier than that. And I'll be very happy to be home. And I'm greatly appreciative of all the well wishers out there in Hornland.
Well, I mean, I hope you know how cherished you are by this community.
Well, I do have a strong sense of that, you know. And I know sometimes I feel like I'm calling too much or wearing out my charm and panache or whatever it is.
But, no, I mean, given the gravity of the circumstances under which you were there, you have maintained a magnificent sense of humor about it.
Well, I think in Proverbs, not to be quoting the Bible, but...
Well, it's Wednesday. Go ahead.
Isn't there a proverb that says a merry heart is like medicine, good medicine or something? And I
thought that was Reader's Digest. Laughter is the best medicine.
No. Well, yeah, there was that. Or I was Joe's adenoids, or they used to have a series of...
I am James Bunyan's, yes. That was one of my favorite series. When I was a kid, I read them all.
God, I Reader's Digest. Do they even make that or publish that anymore?
I don't know if Reader's Digest... I think Reader's Digest is still a going concern. I don't know. They could revive the series, you know, I am Trump's brain.
Oh, that'd be a short story, much less, you know, like a paragraph at the bottom.
No, I am Trump's brain. I am Trump's hands. I am Marge's brain.
Well, that's still short, no matter how you slice it. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm just thrilled. I wanted to share my happiness with the rest of you folks.
We are insanely happy for you, and Steve from Georgistan agrees. That your neighbor sounded like, I mean, she had a good sense of time.
Stand by, yes.
Nurse is here. Let me tell her about your pills.
Oh, good. Yeah, my Nicorette. Thank you. Yep. And pills and whatever you can bring me at this point. Hi there. The ladies can take my blood pressure now,
yes,
but.
I am going to take your blood pressure.
Okay, so you have to be quiet. So I need to.
Yeah.
I need to go to a story here.
Okay, do it. That's probably the best way.
So we've been.
Oh, you can do it up here.
Do it anywhere you want. It's a regular joint.
Yeah, well, for a while I was wearing long sleeves, and they would do it at my lower arm, and now I'm having...
Today you're wearing short sleeves.
Yeah, I'm short sleeve today.
Yeah, I was 132 over 74 today. I was really happy about that.
They say that mine is pretty good, so it was too low there for a while. So, oh, and they put that thing on your finger. Is that for the pulse?
Yes, yeah, the pulse oximeter.
Oximeter. Oh, yeah. Let's see, I didn't know that.
It's a pulse oximeter. That's exactly what it's called. You have to take your temperature.
And she just did the radar gun up against my head to get my temperature.
I told her.
Oh, great. I'll
be expecting her. If not, I'll be busy, and I'll let her know again, but I hope she doesn't forget.
Okay, I appreciate it.
This was about that. You know what? I'm going to have to come back later and take your blood pressure because it's dying. And then this also keeps popping off.
I'm glad it's the machine dying and not me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, popping off is another thing you don't want to hear in the home.
Well, that was still on my finger. Yeah, I'll go with you, but I'm on the... Thanks.
They sound really sweet there.
They have no idea that I'm on the air with thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people listening. Yeah.
Dozens and dozens, yeah.
Yeah. But,
You got a note from Christopher in Oregon. Scott's whacking neighbor. I think that's actually the sound of the guy with the cart whacking away, yelling, "Bring out your dad." Glad to hear you're heading home Friday, Scott. Thoughts go out to Steve from New York regarding his recent incident. That sounds terrifying, and he must be pissed as hell his tablet's gone. But sounds like it could have been a lot worse. Stay safe, Steve, and hope you're having a good time in the capital of the Great White North. Yes.
Steve in New York is going to have to start carrying, tear gas spray or mace or a blackjack or something. Because wasn't he mugged one time before?
Yeah, this isn't his first problem.
Oh, see, I couldn't live like that. I mean, then again, nobody's asking me to. I'm in sunny California, and things are relatively calm.
I don't know. I think Steve needs to go somewhere safe, like, you know, Mexico City. Sorry. I'm going to get hate mail for that. I know that.
I was going to say, that's not very safe. Plus, it's high up. I couldn't breathe up there. What is it, a mile high or something?
I don't know. Well, somebody's going to immediately type in mean sea level out of Mexico City. And yeah, it's a bowl, kind of. It's surrounded by mountains, but it's a big bowl. Used to have a beautiful series of lakes in it. And of course, the white colonizers took care of that.
Well, didn't they have the Olympics there one year? And
yeah, 1968, Mexico City Olympics.
But they had to train, the athletes had to train a special program so that they could accommodate themselves to the altitude. I'm pretty sure I remember that.
Well, the air's not particularly clean either.
Well, no, I have heard that. So, well, let me get to the thing that you said something that triggered me. I was going to address that and then tell the people the good news and then go away. But... Did you make your own tartar sauce?
Oh, I do make my own tartar sauce.
Okay, because I was going to recommend, and it's probably available if you have Kroger there. You're near enough to Ohio and that part of the country where Kroger is really big. I think it started in Cincinnati. It's at a restaurant called Frisch, F-R-S.
Oh, Frisch's, yeah, I'm familiar with Frisch's.
Frisch's makes the best damn tartar sauce I've ever had, ever. For real.
I don't know that I've ever, you know, the Frisch's was vaguely affiliated with the Big Boy franchise for a while.
Well, yeah, that's where I first had it. I think it's owned by a Catholic family, and in Cincinnati, a lot of Catholics would go there back when the meat on Friday rule was in effect.
Do you have all your stuff?
They could go in there and have fish and chips with the tartar sauce. Oh man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty. So was it like a sweet pickle tartar sauce?
No, it wasn't overly sweet. That's one of the reasons I liked it. It was kind of a tangy, and it always tasted just absolutely fresh, even though it was from a jar. I've never had tartar sauce like it before or since.
Well, the tartar sauce that I love so much comes from, of course, home. And it's kind of like that yellow barbecue slaw that I love so much.
Oh, yeah.
It was something I've never run across it anywhere else. But the secret of this particular tartar sauce is ground cabbage.
That makes sense. Really finely ground, minced almost.
Yeah, pulped.
Yeah, pulped.
Along with onion and green pepper, and you fold in not sweet pickle cubes but dill cubes, and you add the juice of a lemon and dill weed. And you let it sit, and it's good on like a battered chicken tender. It's good on fish. It's good on a spoon straight out of the jar if you've got a problem like I do.
Oh Lord, you are a junkie.
Oh, I am. Yes. I mean, I've got to take control of some of my what's the word I'm looking for? Excesses. I mean, way back, when my pancreas went sideways the first time, it was an idiopathic pancreatitis, but it cannot have been helped by the fact that, I would buy the Tostitos cheese dip and just drink it out of the jar.
Oh, wow.
I'm not proud. I mean, I don't do that anymore. And as much as I love that stuff, I just walk by. And that's the thing. I think that's why I fucked up in food line today and didn't get the half and half, dumbass.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I was like walking. I had just gotten the news from the doc, and I'm walking through the grocery store and I'm like, never have that again.
I hate that moment.
I was being a pouty little bitch.
Well, usually it's a matter of items that you really, truly enjoy and almost can't live without.
But the thing is, some of the things that I most enjoy are absolute garbage. And so...
In terms of, not good for the health, for your situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see.
I mean, it's crap. It's processed food. It's not anything that any human being should be. It shouldn't be on the market.
Well, it's food in quotation marks because food, generically speaking, is not like food was 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago. I mean, I wasn't around, but I remember my grandmother talking about how things tasted a whole lot different back when she was a young woman, even. And she was born in, like, 1906, I think.
I quit smoking. That was a humongous mountain to climb.
Yeah.
And I didn't pile on the weight because I think that's because I was on, I started estrogen contemporaneously. And that, the longer you're on it, that causes fat to redistribute.
Yeah.
And I wish it would redistribute a little bit better.
Pardon me.
And
it is how the sands of time will shift and do things to one's hourglass figure.
Well, I never had one of those. I'm hoping for one at some point, but
trying to be as kind.
And that's another reason for getting into the gym. Yeah, you know, I would like to have a waist and not just be, basically vertical, straight up and down, in all four directions.
Yeah, that's always a plus.
And of course, But, I've been, let's see, what's the count? 27 months I've been on hormone replacement therapy. And so it could be a couple more years before everything is accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah, and wasn't the quitting smoking pivotal to being...
No, it was a condition precedent to even beginning to being able to transition.
Yeah, I remember when I've had one or two major surgeries that they insist that you stop smoking. And it does help. I mean, you know, you're in better shape, more or less, going in, and then coming out, your recovery is not quite as many hoops to jump through.
Well, one of the things that I actually learned was that in any surgical procedure that's going to involve incisions and therefore scars, if you quit smoking, you don't scar as badly.
Really?
Yeah. That's like, so for people like me who might down the road go for certain procedures, surgeons will say, if you smoke, I will not do surgery on you.
Well, that's probably the wise course. I mean, now you've quit altogether. You don't cheat and sneak one behind that.
No.
Good for you. See,
you know, I even got past the part where I had the dreams where I had a, and you quit smoking, you probably know.
Oh, yeah.
The dream where you have the cigarette and it's like, oh, this is so good. And then you go, oh, you asshole. Now you got to quit all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, in my case, I was a hard case. Like, oh, somebody's bringing me pills. What is this one?
You needed your pain pill?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You're right.
Well, wait a minute.
No, I'm serious. I did. Earlier today, it was just hurting like hell, and it's still about a 7.
Okay, babe.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. These are
your... Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. As long as they don't bring it to you in a cigar box.
Yeah, they... What in a cigar box?
I said, as long as they don't bring you your pain pill in a cigar box.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, that's...
That's, yeah, we were Rush Limbaugh, you know, we talked about that the other night.
Oh, you mean pain pill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, I think I mentioned I slept rather fitfully last night, and then today the leg was hurting. And like when I asked for the medicine, it was like 6 hours ago. So she's doing pretty well, I guess, 6 hours later. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Little pain never hurt anyone.
That's a lie. Pain is a picture window into hell. I used to use that line in closing arguments.
Oh, yeah. That's a good line, too. And it's true. It's true. There's like chronic pain that some people have owing to one condition or another. And it is like hell, almost. Can only imagine. Well, anyway, I'm going to keep my sunny side up.
Oh, by the way, Ron in Raleigh reminds us in our nicotine gum Pez dispensers. Ron says, you forgot Yul Brynner. And, of course, John Wayne.
Oh, yeah. And Hamilton Berger on Perry Mason, the actor who played him, he did a PSA, non-smoking PSA, about 6 months before he croaked. He had lung cancer. Yeah. Okay. Can't think of the actor's name. But
and, of course, as we discussed the other night, Lewis Powell was a corporate attorney for Big Tobacco, Philip Morris in particular, and he worked hammer and tongs to make sure that he protected his even once he was on the Supreme Court, to protect his client from the world finding out that they knew that they were killing people.
Do you know offhand the firm that he worked for? I'm pretty sure it was a Richmond firm or maybe a D.C. firm.
Well, it was, but he was, I mean, I think he had his own practice at one point.
Well, the reason I ask is because there's one or two law firms, or at least there used to be down there, that that's their sole practice is the tobacco industry. But I can't remember the name of the firm. It might be in D.C., but I thought it was in Richmond, too. I'll have to look it up.
Oh, and I know you don't follow social media too terribly much, but there was an epic moment on Twitter today. It takes a little bit of a setup, but my God.
Okay.
So just by way of a setup, you remember Cal Ripken Jr.?
The baseball guy.
Yeah, played for the Orioles.
Yeah.
And they thought that Lou Gehrig's consecutive games played streak would never be broken.
Yeah.
And then Cal Ripken came along and broke it.
Yeah.
Well, something like that happened today. And again, there's going to be a lot of explanation. But we've talked about the fact that back when Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion put out their song WAP, which stood for Wet Ass Pussy, that Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Benny Shapiro, who runs the Daily Wire and and has people on the payroll like Candy O and Matt Walsh and other various and sundry dickheads. Well, he took extreme umbrage at WAP and declared on air that he had asked his wife, who is a physician, why any woman's genitals would be wet. And then he declared, in the greatest cell phone in the entire history of the interweb tubes, well, I'm married, and my wife never gets wet. You can understand the humor's obvious.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people thought that that would stand the test of time as the greatest cell phone in the history of little shitbird wing nuts cell phoning. It has been broken. Now, there's this movement, and it's so weird. I mean, you've probably heard of Jordan Peterson.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
He's this big time, teaching men how to be men.
Are you going to need more stuff, or is that good?
It's got to be a scam.
And then, of course, there's Joe Rogan, Pink Shrek, and he's all into all this hyper-masculinity shit just sets off all kinds of sirens for me. It's like, oh, honey, really? We see you. Can you
say compensate much?
Yeah, exactly. And so, Joe Rogan's out of, oh, I'm a mixed martial arts fighter. I'm 12th Dan, and I'm not scared. Yeah, okay, whatever. And it's this thing. Oh, my God, if you actually go out and do what I've done and, look around the fever swamps of the right-wing internet, this hyper-masculinity movement. And it's so gross, and it's driven, I think, by trolls and bots and everything, but there are real live individual human being dude bros who claim to be filthy rich and women fall all over themselves just trying to get to them, and they know how to put a woman in her place, and feminism has destroyed Western culture. They get really upset.
And again, I say compensating.
Compensating. I was about to say it if you didn't.
Yeah.
So there's this one dude, and he got real big on TikTok for a while. By the way, I have never understood the fascination of TikTok. The younger generation is all about it.
Now, is that the one where you get a 15-second period to make your point or whatever it is?
Yeah, something like that. But the important part is that it is, it's owned by the Chinese government.
Yeah, I knew that, and there were some security questions. Didn't they just stop government employees from having it on?
And oddly enough, right-wingers have been having a hissy about it, right-wing governors, and insisting that any government phones have TikTok removed from them. And I don't often find myself in agreement with right-wing governors like Greg Asbot or, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. But TikTok is so full of holes and back doors, it's just one great big compromise. And yet, because of its popularity, you've seen governmental agencies in various states, like departments of health, putting out TikToks about, say, getting your vaccines.
Well, that's a worthy use of it.
Yeah, but the problem is it's compromised. And, of course, because they're not dumb, the Chinese government spun off a U.S. subsidiary of TikTok. And they promise, they swear on a stack of Bibles that they don't believe in, all TikTok in the United States is totally separate and apart from the parent company. You know, when is the last time you heard of a subsidiary corporation being entirely separate and apart from the mothership, right?
Well, not only that, but when you're getting quote assurances from high level government people, especially over there, you automatically are skeptical at the very least.
Right. So it turns out that there may have been some common ground found. Because there are some people on our side who agree with the people on the other side that maybe this is not the best thing in the world. And God knows if you own a Huawei phone, that thing's just a Swiss cheese.
What is Huawei?
Huawei is a phone.
Oh,
is
the Chinese phone.
Yeah. It's like there was a story a couple of days ago that because of American provocation, because there was support for Taiwan in the defense authorization bill that recently went through.
Yeah.
Because of American imperialist running dog of capitalism provocation.
They didn't say running dog, now did they?
Well, they did at some point in the past. China launched 71 military aircraft, which then violated the airspace of Taiwan. And just because, you know, it's a dick measuring contest.
Yeah, yeah.
But I noticed some footage of the Chinese aircraft, and you know what was surprising is they looked a shitload like American aircraft.
Oh, no surprise there.
Yeah, right.
Do they call it? Industrial espionage?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm going to resist any urges to make any cheap jokes, but the larger point is that, you know, there's an entente or a detente, I guess, you know, an uneasy peace. Right-wingers the Chi-Coms are coming to get us. While at the same time, you know, their god emperor was having neckties made over there, and precious princess I wank my daddy Trump Kushner owns, you know, 5,000 different licenses to do business in China,
yeah.
including, I swear to God, I may be wrong, but I think I read this somewhere along the way. She's got a license to make caskets in China, because, well,
sure.
if you're an upscale and well-to-do member of the recently emerged Chinese middle class, and you know your country's burning up with COVID, sure, nothing says headed for the afterlife in style like being buried in an I wank my daddy Trump Kushner casket. Now, does it?
I want to see the catalog. I'm sure they've got some numbers in that book that are just going to be eye-poppingly overdone.
You know, maybe the handles look like cheap, you know, cheap pumps.
Well, if she
like her shoes that wound up, her shoes that wound up in Dollar Tree or whatever the hell it was.
If she inherited the gene that Trump utilized to do the decorating in his gaudy the penthouse at Trump Tower, then the gold foil and. That's like a decorator on bad acid or something.
Well, yeah, I figure the casket will probably turn green before they get it in the dirt. But anyway,
yeah.
So, you know, the Republicans are all, China. Well, I mean, you heard it earlier with the marginal trailer queen story. Oh, the Chi-Coms are making the fentanyl that they're sending to the Mexican cartels. You know, there's a kernel of truth in it, but. Not as expressed by her.
Stand by. I got to visit with somebody for a second. Okay.
Matt in San Francisco asking, coffins, do they come with a golf flagpole of which hole you can bury them? Yeah, I wonder if they put Ivana in one of them. And of course, they may look like they're made out of, you know, polished oak or mahogany, but
oh, sorry about that.
That's a veneer. It's just it's particle board at best, and probably cardboard. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. I think I may have gotten so far off topic. I don't know where I was going.
So she's gone into the casket business.
Yeah, but anyway, TikTok is where a lot of these men's rights advocates and MGTOWs, that's men going their own way, and incels.
Can you hear it?
Yep.
Now she's banging China together.
I'm telling you, I think she may be retired from Santana's percussion section. That's all I got.
Either that or isn't there a Chicago tune with the cowbell rhythm going on in the background? The ink is black, the paper's white.
That's not Chicago, but there's
that.
What
is that?
And then there's
Well, who sang "The Ink is Black, the Paper's White"? Was that? That was Chicago.
And then there's Eric Burdon and War with Lowrider.
I don't know Lowrider.
Oh, what? No, that this is okay. The trouble we get into here. Get a couple old DJs sitting around rapping. God, Lady B, where are you when we need you?
Well, who sang "The Ink is Black, the Paper's White"? I'm sure that was, or was that Three Dog Night?
That might have been Three Dog Night, but I was thinking more of. Because it began it, I immediately thought of her, especially with this last rendition, because it had more syncopation, and maybe more cowbell.
My name.
No, well, we don't need. Wait, okay, there was a whole lot of lead in. Here we go. Yeah, she reminded me of Eric Burdon and War and Lowrider.
That sounds like Cisco Kid is a friend of mine.
Same band.
Well, which band?
War, Eric Burdon and War.
Okay. Yeah. I never knew that. I forgot it if I did.
And Why Can't We Be Friends and Spill the Wine and.
Oh, I love both of those.
Yeah. But anyway, God, how are we ever going to finish this story? Well, nobody even remembers what the setup was now.
You can gather up the lead, the thread. Who sang "Mama Told Me Not to Come"?
That
ain't the way to have fun.
That was Three Dog Night.
Okay. All right. Go proceed. I'm sorry.
Lady B, where are you?
You do that to me. You stop me before you free associate again or something. Yeah.
But the whole point was TikTok.
Oh, yes.
And the breaking of the record for greatest self-own of all time. And so I ran through, I mentioned some of the. Men's rights weirdos, neo-maxi zoom dweeby Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, Pink Shrek, you know, Joe Rogaine, and they're all such masculine, manly men. And one of the guys who's become a big name and apparently made a fortune, so he says, is a dude bro by the name of, Andrew Tate. Okay.
Wow.
And he's done these videos about, you know, how to be manly and make lots of money off the hoes. I'm right there with you. Dave number 11 says, more lowrider. It's infectious. It absolutely is. But Andrew Tate, masculine, manly man of manliness, and really, really straight, just ask him, he'll tell you, decided he was going to troll. Don't do this. You know, because he's old. He's even this guy who's like, you know, maybe in his late 20s or something. He's old for TikTok. Okay.
Okay.
Don't fuck with the teenagers. It's kind of like the old Twitter rule about don't fuck with AOC. She will hand you your ass.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's they've got way more energy and free time.
So our buddy John in Central PA hipped me to this, and then I just couldn't stop going because I've never seen an own like this. Andrew Tate, call him Andy, you know, just like we call the guy who shot up Club Q, Andy, you know, because Andrew Tate likes his guns and his, and I guess I've read somewhere he's recently converted to Islam, whatever, because it's such, because the manliness is there. So he decided to troll Greta Thunberg. And he tweeted at her, hello, at Greta Thunberg. I have 33 cars. My Bugatti has a W16 8-liter quad turbo. My two Ferrari 812 Competizione have 6.5-liter V12s. This is just the start. Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions. Imagine being such a dweeb that you're proud to announce how much carbon you're emitting into the atmosphere.
Yeah, and to someone, I don't know how old this dude is, but she's just a kid, really, relatively speaking. And it's bullying. It's madness.
And so this dude's got a shaven head and one of those dude bro beards. And
did I miss the memo where everybody who's over the age of 30 has to shave their head?
Well, in the dude bro movement, it's a thing.
There's nothing more ridiculous. Some people have the head for that. Other people, frankly, do not.
But you have to understand, these are extreme right-wingers, and the Venn diagram between them and skinheads and Nazis is just a fucking circle. And so,
they want to belong so badly that they will say or do anything to be accepted.
Well, no, they're right-wing pieces of shit.
Nazis!
I mean,
on
skinheads!
On some level, it's all about acceptance. By the group or
right,
whatever.
And deep-seated insecurity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big time. If he's talking about cars that way, I mean, that is nothing but insecurity. It's dripping with insecurity.
So he posts a picture of him standing at the gas pump, pumping gas into, I presume, his Bugatti.
Huh?
And I have yet to figure out the point. I mean, I love sports cars. I love Porsches. I absolutely do. But in the grand scheme of things, what's the point? Okay, great. You've got a car that'll do 250 miles an hour. Find me anywhere in this country you can drive it.
Well, legally, yeah, anyway.
Drive it at speed. Now, that's not to say that you might not enjoy the hell out of it, say, on portions, not the entirety, but portions of the Autobahn in Germany.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But he's, you know, sitting there bragging about you because, you know, Greta Thunberg is a tree-hugging liberal climate change believer. Oh! And so he's got this picture of him pumping gas into his Bugatti, looking fierce and manly. And so he trolls her, you know, hello, Greta Thunberg, 33 cars, you know, please provide your email address. This is the important part. Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions. Oh, dear.
I mean,
now, remember, this is Cal Ripken breaking Lou Gehrig's record. Okay? This is, you know, it can never be done. Nobody could ever self-own better than Ben Shapiro. And yet he did, because Greta Thunberg, bless her heart, God, oh, Greta Thunberg, this little slip of a girl, subtweets this dweeb and said, yes. Okay, do I get to do my cheesy Swedish accent?
Sure, I love it when you do.
Okay. Yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com. And the whole, and you know, the entire Twitter sphere just watched him get burnt to the ground. I mean,
oh, just owned.
Did memes of the Hindenburg in flames crashing to the ground in Lakewood, New Jersey. All the humanity.
Well,
it was a beautiful thing.
And hats off to her for having the presence of mind just to hit him right where it hurts, you know?
Yeah.
Owned with a capital P.W. Eddie D.
And bless his heart, Dave Zirin, one of the greatest sports writers in the country today, said, you know, if this could be Twitter's last tweet, I'd walk away with a smile.
Well, you know, all of that says to me, well, two things. First of all, don't be an asshole. That's rule number one. The other rule is, and something that I learned, fortunately, at a relatively young age, who I am is not what I have. And there are people, some poor, miserable schlubs in the world who have not been fortunate enough to get that basic elemental truth. And I feel, on some level, I feel bad for them, because when you have emptiness to that depth and degree, you will spend your whole life trying to fill it and compensate for it. And you never, ever can.
And the responses were magic. Still not exactly sure what an Andrew Tate is, but I know how you kill one on Twitter.
Like that, yeah.
And then somebody else said, this has got to be the most carbon-efficient word volcano I've ever seen. You destroyed him.
Word volcano, I like that. Yeah.
And then most cutting thing you can say is, who's this clown? Because it implies they're A, a clown, and B, not even one of the better known clowns.
And the nice thing about it, though, is it didn't take much to cut him down to size. And it was done with a sense of decency and not being right about the matter. It was simply... it was an authentic response to a twerp, to a dork, to a, what do you call him, dweeby?
Neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I'm glad I don't wake up every morning and find him looking back at me in my own mirror. Not that I'm better or wiser or more wonderful or anything, even though we both know I am, he said modestly. But I'm just telling you, how old a person is this?
Well, there's another response that says 6'3", 200-pound, 36-year-old dude picks fight with 19-year-old girl and loses in front of 50 million people and there counting.
There's your headline.
I haven't quite picked up on that. I thought I'd never see a greater tweet than me and my friends would have killed E.T. with hammers, and yet here we are. But probably the best one. I love this one. Don't you call yourself a climate activist, Greta, if you have to burn people like that.
Bingo. Cowbell for that tweeter or person.
This isn't even murder. You straight up nuked him from orbit.
It's like the Star Wars thing up in the sky, sending beams of light down to Earth to mess up the other side, the dreaded communists.
Greta Thunberg electrifies the crowd with a first-round KO of Andrew Tate. Take the L and move on, little dick.
I like stories that end that way. I mean, when someone is so totally off base and so self-righteous and sanctimonious and thinks they are the end-all and be-all, all that in a bag of chips, you know, gets just absolutely owned. I just love that.
And so, it's a big deal to be around when a record is not just broken but shattered. No one ever thought anyone could self-own like Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Ben Shapiro did.
My wife didn't get wet.
And then, but you know, there's Andrew Tate. Hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah, and Greta didn't break a sweat.
No.
You know, just
email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com.
Just as natural and laid back and confident as you please. And I like that in a person. So.
And of course, in his 33 cars, there's not one electric one. Because he's proud of shitting on the planet.
Of course. I mean, that when you don't, you know, when the axis of the universe goes through one's own navel, at least in their own estimation, they're going to do all manner of horrible, crazy, drastic, evil shit. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, and I asked the question, you know, where could you drive that car and enjoy how much speed? Randy Radar said Dover Speedway, but you'd just be driving in circles. He could, of course, go. You can rent the Nürburgring in Germany and have a high old time. But he would probably flame that car out in the first turn because that's a driving course.
Yeah, definitely. That's a whole different thing than, you know, standard driving conditions. That way, you know, it's just sad. Like I say, on some level, I feel badly for people who are that out of touch with everything, up to and including themselves.
But if you knew what an asshole this guy was,
you'd
actually hope for more.
And I'm sure there are more examples of him.
Oh no, he's one of those guys that Bart Kopp was talking about when he said, "You're going to catch him with a man in his mouth." I mean, he's just, yeah. And by the way, Billable Rick wrote in, and thanks for the challenge, Billable Rick. Thanks for everybody who responded to it, the challenge and the challenge from Ralph's. Thank you, Billable. Billable said it's Three Dog Night, Black and White, is the song you're thinking of.
Okay.
And added, congrats, Scotty, on your impending release from the cuckoo's nest.
Oh, I'm free. I'm free almost. I can taste freedom on my lower lip. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, is that?
Is, I'm serious.
Is that where the last of the nicotine gum was?
No. It's as a matter of fact, I'm still trying to get them to bring my daily ration.
Oh, I heard you. I heard you call for it earlier.
Yeah, 25 minutes past 4 Pacific time. But I tell you what, earlier, a moment I asked you to hold just a moment. It was because a lady was here for me to fill out some paperwork. And I told her about 10 minutes, and I think it's been about that. So I'm going to.
Okay, well, you run along. And if we don't hear from you tomorrow, I hope we'll be hearing from you on the front porch. It's fine if you give us a ring tomorrow because God knows.
You know,
I mean, you never don't bring your A game, but my God, you've been amazing while you've been at the home. I'm just telling you.
Well, and you've got to do that. You've got to keep your PMA, positive mental attitude, no matter what. I mean, that's my rule. May not work for everybody, but I kind of like it.
And by the way, you're getting big sympathy from Shorty in L.A. She's rehabbing after being, you know, hit by a car.
Oh, yes, I remember. Jeez.
You gave her a humongous laugh, and she said, crapola, Scott, what was I typing? Oh, yeah, a pot of coffee and maybe a roll of toilet paper. Also, if you can get some oyster mushrooms, Scott is someone chopping up medication in the background. okay, Shorty.
Well, this has truly been an adventure. What brought me here and the time here has been most pleasant.
I'm back.
Oh, are you going to take my vitals in?
Yeah.
All right. Well, wait a minute. Do you want to stick around for this? It could be fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I love this. In fact, While you're doing your vitals, I'll respond to Dave number 11.
Okay.
Musical instrument.
We love that. We just love that. And I just scrolled for a minute while it was playing. And a very good question. Why is war not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Because that's just...
Well, you know, as that was playing, now that's Lowrider, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I knew that song, but I couldn't make it play in my head. That would teach me to put slugs into the jukebox of my mind. But the other thing was,
do you salt them before or after you put them in the jukebox?
Oh, no. You be kind. This is be kind of slugs week, you know, because they might get elected and then we're all in trouble. But the question was, doesn't Santana use a lot of cowbell?
I'd say there's considerable cowbell in Santana.
And who was that that recurring bit on Saturday night, the actor, the real kind of spooky fellow, I think he was in Deer Hunter. Can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Christopher Walken. Yeah, more cowbell. Yeah, that's why there's a cowbell here.
Okay.
More cowbell.
I knew there was a connection. So, well, Robin and...
Well, how was the blood pressure?
She hadn't done it yet. She forgot something, and she's got to come back for it.
Oh, Scott.
Anyway. Hey, look, this is the little cross that I bear, and I just tried to giggle and keep my sunny side up. But anyway, if I don't talk to you tomorrow, which I probably won't because it'll be a busy day, I enjoy your having me visit with you, and I hope I bring...
Oh, no, thank you for the paroxysm of laughter that you gave me.
Well, and we came close. I mean, we almost lost it simultaneously. And that's highly entertaining, but nothing much gets said. You have value and worth, you know. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like just laughing until you almost wet your pants.
Yeah, but there's problems with the laundry service, last you told. So,
that's true. But you know what I mean. You know that laughing to the point of being uncontrollable?
Yes, been there.
Sometimes I will generate that. I'll get to thinking about something, and then I'll think about something that's even more bizarre. And before long, I'm just laughing my ass off. And I don't know whether it's endorphins that get released or some biochemical thing happens.
Well, I mean, there's a thing that happens in my brain. Anytime you do that to me, including this evening, it was just in the moment, but also once I start losing it, I immediately think of the monkey with the visor and licking the pencil.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And that's
I take that with me everywhere I go, Scott.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, if I need a little pick me up and I'm just driving down the road or having a shitty day, I just replay that in my mind and I'm laughing.
The little green eye shade and the arm
that's your fright.
And licking the tip
with the pencil, yeah.
A little monkey tongue. And you know how much fun that is. But anyway.
You know, if there's not a band named Monkey Tongue, there damn sure should be.
Oh, I'm sure there is. There's got to be. There's got to be.
Tonight, two nights only, Monkey Tongue.
Monkey Tongue. With special guest appearance of somebody. Which you wouldn't expect to be with a group called Monkey Tongue.
And the sad thing is, when we wrap up this phone call, I'm going to have to go back to the regular news.
Oh, tell people call in. Call in. You know who I love hearing from? There are a number of people, but I haven't heard him for I don't know how long. Is Todd. Todd is always a joy to listen to.
Yes.
Lady B, obviously, but I know her calling situation isn't...
Optimum. You know,
quite optimum. Thank you. That's a good word. And and there are people that I just don't hear from anymore. I just don't hear from him.
Well, then you have whispered it into the ear of the universe, and hopefully that will resolve some things.
Because the universe always listens to me. Doesn't make head nor tails of it, but the universe listens to me.
Well, she can often be reached through the fairy godmother department.
Oh, yes. Or the tooth fairy. Actually, it's Amalgamated Fairies Limited or Unlimited, one or the other.
Oh, and by the way, I was asked by a member of the community to please announce that, yeah, our fundraising goal for a miracle to close December and the... year of 2022, $830. That's where fundraising stands. $830.
That's doable. That's doable.
Well, that'd be 400. Okay. That'd be 415 tomorrow and 415 Friday.
Before I go, while I'm thinking of it, and I sent it to you earlier by email. Was it Felicia you said is a neighbor?
Yes. Yes.
And wanted me to be in touch, and I completely spaced it. Owing to the meds, I'm sure. But I thought about it right before the show, and I said, I will dash off the email and phone number so that Felicia can reach out and say tickety-boo or something.
Okay, you
like
send that.
That
to me. I'll forward that to her.
Okay, I sent it to you, and I forget what the subject line is, but I sent it around the...
Yeah, I saw it come through. I did. Okay. I didn't see the content, but I did see the subject line.
All right, my friend... You take care. Be well. Give my best to everybody in the family.
They better bring you your damn gum.
I wish they would, because I'm starting gnawing on the furniture. Well, I'll take my call button and start wailing at the wall with that.
Just wait till she gets going and enjoy it. You know, just sort of ride the beat for a minute till you know what the timing is, and then get with it.
Two can play this game. Boy, fascinating rhythm indeed. All righty. On that note, you all take care, and we'll catch up on Friday.
All right, or tomorrow.
We'll do the fatted calf thing on the front porch because it'll be my triumphant return.
Well, I mean, that can get messy. And remember, I'm not supposed to be consuming so much red meat anymore.
Beautiful Shea Guru. All righty.
All right, you be take good, care, Scott. Robin. Get your gum. Tell them about the gum, Scott.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to raise hell. Okay, see ya.
See ya. Bye. Scott's sojourn in rehab has been, this has been an epic series of programs for the horn. We tried that with the call button and we both realized pretty quick that we didn't, neither one of us liked that worth a damn. He just destroyed me. He did. But we gotta go back to, the real news, and there's stuff out there that merits mention. We've been talking a good bit about how COVID is burning up China now, and I think I heard a story earlier today that the Chinese government has just, I don't know what fuck it sounds like in Mandarin, but they've decided they're not going to test any cold foods coming into China. They're not going to test anybody coming into China. They're just done. And so with that news hitting the wires, because of warnings going out from the Centers for Disease Control, they announced a measure today that goes into effect on January 5th. Could we not make it a little earlier? No, that's okay. Just tell anybody flying from China into the United States that they can only come here on Southwest, and they won't get here. All passengers over the age of 2 entering the U.S. from China, Hong Kong, and Macau will have to provide a negative COVID-19 test before they're allowed to enter the U.S. Because we would really not like to not make the same mistakes that Nitwit Nero made in, say, late 2019 and early 2020. And it's given the fact that the Chinese government has said, again, I don't know what fuck it in Mandarin is, but I'm pretty sure it's been said. U.S. is saying that the monitored test has to be overseen by a telehealth service or a licensed provider and authorized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The CDC noted the lack of adequate and transparent epidemiological and viral genomic sequence data being reported from China. Reduced testing and case reporting in China and minimal sharing of viral genomic sequence data could delay the identification of new variants of concern if they arise. Well, I guess China's going to send 71 jets that look surprisingly like American jets rocketing toward Taiwan because of this act of American imperialist running dog capitalism. Passengers also flying through South Korea's Incheon International Airport, Toronto's Pearson International, and Vancouver's Vancouver International will also be required to show a negative test if they've been in China in the last 10 days. I'm not trying to be alarmist, but those numbers coming out of China are terrifying. Their hospitals are full again. The crematoria can't keep up. And people are just wandering around without masks in a country of 1.4 billion human beings. That's a lot of virus lottery tickets, to use the language that our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown uses. One of the things that the CDC said was during the initial weeks of the Omicron surge, TGS detected 2 Omicron subvariants, BA2 and BA3, and reported them to the global database weeks before they were reported elsewhere, demonstrating that the program is able to detect variants early. It seems rational, but I'm sure it will not be sufficiently so for the occupants of Bedlam, who are about to take the reins of the House of Representatives. You can see it now, right? This thing takes effect on January 5, 2 days after the inmates take over the asylum. It's going to... I give them a day before they introduce legislation to defund the CDC. These fuckers are really and for true, not kidding, vectors of the disease itself. And speaking of diseases, tough news. I hate this. One of my favorite members of the House of Representatives, Representative Jamie Raskin, made an announcement today. He said that he has diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. It's described as a serious but curable form of cancer. He's about to go under chemoimmunotherapy. Most people in his situation get an excellent prognosis after 4 months of treatment. Representative Raskin said, I expect to be able to work through this period, but have been cautioned by my doctors to reduce unnecessary exposure to avoid COVID-19, the flu, and other viruses. Adding, with the benefit of early detection and fine doctors, the help of my extraordinary staff, the love of Sarah and our daughters and sons-in-law, actual and to be, and family and friends, and the support of my beloved constituents and my colleagues in the House, I plan to get through this and, in the meantime, to keep making progress every day in Congress for American democracy. And this, of course, means that sometime in the next day or so, marginal Trailer Queen and or Clanny Oakley and or Andy Biggs and or Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, will collectively go up and cough in his face. Because there's some sick fucks. But it is encouraging to note that Jamie Raskin was recently elected to be the ranking member on the House Oversight Committee. And so he'll be there to raise hell with the idiots when they start in, you ain't gonna investigate Dr. Fauci and the torrid sexual affair he had with Hunter Biden. I'm telling you, this was the coming year is going to be a bad year to stop huffing glue. But all of my best hopes and wishes for Congressman Raskin. Oh, and by the way, I was going to mention this earlier. We had another sentencing in the kidnap plot against Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer today. Barry Croft, who was apparently from Delaware and was up to his eyeballs. Remember yesterday his co-conspirator got 16 years. He could have gotten life. Well, Barry Croft apparently was even worse than the other guy. He wanted to start a civil war. You know, the usual drivel. We're gonna have a race war in America. We got a lot of guns. He went several times to the Midwest to be trained and to plan sessions before they sought to execute their plot to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, because Michiganders, I can't mow my snow. And remember, they were going to kidnap her. They were going to put on a kangaroo court trial, and then they were going to murder her. And so Judge Robert J. Jonker, a W appointee, up in Grand Rapids, gave Barry Croft 19 years and 7 months. Again, cutting him a humongous break, probably because he wanted to kill a Democrat governor. He, too, was looking at life and should have gotten it. Nils Kessler was the prosecutor on the case. Arguing in the sentencing hearing, he said he's the spiritual leader of this group, Barry Croft, this movement, the same way some sheikh in ISIS might be. Ooh, he compared him to a brown man. There we go. What ISIS or Al-Qaeda calls a mujahideen, he calls a patriot. But I guess the pettifogger for Barry Croft got the win because he pled for a shorter sentence. Joshua Blanchard was the pettifogger, and he said, well, Mr. Croft is a devoted father with a history of mental illness and drug use. He's 47 years old, and he didn't go to some of the training sessions, and he wasn't involved in some of the chat groups.
Mr. Croft's life shows that he is not a lost cause, and if equipped with the right tools, he can return to live a productive, law-abiding life.
Why? If you are a right-wing terrorist in this country, and I should probably not even ask this question, why do you get a second chance? I mean, I know this is America, and everybody gets a second chance. But not when you plot to kidnap and murder the governor of a state. I mean, take a minute and just think about it. How many people in America today have not plotted to kidnap and murder the governor of a state? Like, probably 99%. I'm including that one. That 1% is there because, well, because the maggots you have always with you. Judge Jonker said, "Well, you were the idea guy," and noted that he had anti-government worldviews, and he had more of the blame than Adam Fox, who got the 16 years instead of life. Judge Jonker went on to say, "This group had lots of guns, ammunition, and explosives and training, and somewhere I'm sure a Republican is weeping for the guns and the explosives and the ammunition." Well, they only had that for freedom. Well, at least he got almost 20 years. Oh, and I'm in other marginal Trailer Queen news. I guess Tulsi Gabbard has landed on her feet. Apparently now the fill-in host of choice for testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. She was filling in for the testicle toaster, and they booked George Santos on the program. And she asked him, "At long last, sir, have you no shame?"
Now, permanent Washington has created a culture where it's acceptable to lie to further your own interests. Just try not to get caught. I should know. I served in Congress for 8 years.
Now, how many times did you lie, Tulsi? Apparently a lot. Insofar as you claim to have been a Democrat. Yeah, she should know. Permanent Washington. Permanent Washington, permanent culture. Tulsi, George Santos had never gotten anywhere near government. He did all that lying on his own hook, honey, and it didn't have a damn thing to do with the permanent culture in Washington. Idiot.
Now, permanent Washington has created a culture where it's acceptable to lie to further your own interests. Just try not to get caught. I should know. I served in Congress for 8 years. But even when these politicians do get caught, people just shrug their shoulders and move on. No big deal. No consequences. A few examples. Dick Blumenthal lied about his military service. And, of course, Elizabeth Warren. She lied about having Native American.
Don't you love this? The story is ostensibly about George Santos, who claimed to be a Jew and ain't, who claimed to graduate from a college he didn't graduate from, claimed to have business dealings that he didn't have, and was actually part of a Ponzi scheme. And yet suddenly we're talking about Richard Blumenthal and Elizabeth Warren. And by the way, the business about Elizabeth Warren, she does, still does, can't take it away from her, does have an indigenous heritage. Period. It remains true. Yeah, but never mind. So Tulsi Gabbard absolutely blistered George Santos.
Well, Tulsi, thank you for having me. You know, to answer your question, integrity is very important. And like I said to the New York Post, embellishing
what does
resume
it mean,
was
though?
A mistake.
What does it mean? Because the meaning of the word actually matters in practice.
Of course. It means to carry yourself in an honorable way. And I made a mistake. And I think humans are flawed, and we all make mistakes, Tulsi. I think we can all...
That claiming that you're Jewish, that's not a mistake, that's a lie.
Look at ourselves in the mirror and admit that once in our life we made a mistake.
Yeah, but he didn't make a mistake once in his life. He made several of them.
Having to admit this in national television for the whole country to see, and I have the courage to do so because I believe that in order to move past this and move forward and be an effective member of Congress, I have to face my mistakes, and I'm facing them. The reality is that I remain committed to doing everything I set forward in my campaign. I'm not a fraud. I'm not a fake. I didn't...
No, you're just a liar. And so she went on and had him for lunch or dinner, snack, whatever. I think your eyes have those nictitating membranes, like, you know, never mind. Well, none of this sat too good with Marginal Trailer Queen. Tulsi says that George's actions on the House floor, no, she calls him George, they're buddies now, are what is most important, but George has not even had the chance to take action for his district on the House floor because he ain't even sworn in yet. Tulsi now also says, how can his district believe anything he says? And then, you know, the killing stroke. I, too, believe actions and words are extremely important, said the Jim Bunny. But I don't think a former Democrat whose actions on the House floor as recent as 2020 that gave her an A from Planned Parenthood and an F from the NRA and introduced a climate agenda signature piece of legislation called the OFF Act should lecture a newly elected Republican member of Congress on how he should vote to represent his Republican district. And then went on to equate Tulsi Gabbard with, you know, George Santos. She tried to kill America's energy independence. Oh, please. My aching back. As to George Santos, Matt in San Francisco says, Santos, the Caitlyn Jenner, gay men. Wait a minute. George Santos, the Caitlyn Jenner of Marjorie Taylor Greene's? Thanks. Oh, that's good. That spoke to me, Matt. Thank you. Scott added, by the way, sorry to hear about Representative Raskin. Did you ever see Love and the Constitution? It's on him and the son he lost to suicide. It's a lovely film. It's on MSNBC every so often. I've seen bits and pieces of it, yeah. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the program. We are at $830 to go to finish the week and the month and the year. And it would be wonderful if we could do that. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Y'all really stepped up this evening. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve in the chat room. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live because, among other things, no commercials. And, of course, that'll be Tara Devlin and me here in a little over an hour. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Oh, by the way, please like and subscribe and add a comment so that the algorithms will see us. That would be really helpful. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Almost a year now. Yay. Please stay safe. Get your flu shot. Get your booster. Wipe down your surfaces. Try to help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your mask. Just do it. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, well, if a Jim Bunny from Georgia comes along saying, what about Elizabeth Warren? Well, avoid her like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.